as opposed to the flesh.
All right. Okay, is everybody with me? So, like I said, not God's, but the likeness of God. Likeness in the sense of spirit versus flesh. It exists when the body dies and returns to the ground. This is why every man has the capacity, somebody say capacity and ability to know God. Every man has that capacity. Every man has that ability. Okay? We have the capacity, but not all have the inclination to know him. In other words, you have the capacity to know him, but some people may reject him. That's true, right? They have that right. But we need to know the consequences if we do reject him. And we need to know the blessings and the benefits in when we do receive him, right? So that being said, then, some reject him and therefore miss out on many great blessings that the Lord has for them. Job 38 and 36. I'll give you a chance to turn there. Now, I'm kind of throwing some words out there, and I want you to pick up on these words. Words like spirit of man. Words like inward parts. All right. Words like soul of man. All right. Now, let's look at something here. Job 38 and 36 says this. Who have put wisdom in the inward parts? Inward parts. Job refers to something called inward parts. Or who have given understanding to the heart? All right. So now we see this word inward parts and having understanding in the heart. All right. Psalms refer to the inward parts in one case. In Psalms, it says, for there is no faithfulness in their mouths and their inward parts is very wicked. So we see then that the Bible refers to inward parts can be wicked, but then inward parts also can be righteous. You got that? Inward parts could be wicked, or inward parts could be righteous. All right? Okay? So, the inward parts is that part of man that the Lord desires truth to be and directed in a person's life. Let me give you Psalms 51, 6 and 7. Psalms 51, 6 and 7. This is what it says. It says, behold, thou desireth truth in the inward parts. So then he's talking about God. The psalmist saying God desires truth in the inward parts. Let's break that down. What is truth? The question was asked in the Bible. What is truth? We know what truth is because it was the question and the answer. The question is, what is truth? The answer immediately in the text says, for thy word is truth. Come on. So if the word of God is truth, and the Bible says that God desires truth in the inward part, then we can't conclude that God wants the word of God in our inward parts. The inner man. Right? Thou desire truth in the inward parts. Now watch it now. And it says, and in the hidden part. In what? The hidden part. So there's some parts of you called inward parts that nobody else know but you. There's some things about you I don't know about. But God does. There's some things that nobody else knows but you. But God knows. Right? But there's some hidden parts. All right. It says, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Thou shalt what? Make me to know wisdom. So God will give us the capacity to examine the inward parts, find out where we are, what state and condition are we are in the spirit of man, but also what state and condition we are in the soul of man. I'll deal with that too. But God is the one that helps us to examine ourselves. You got to search out yourself and see what's going on and find out if you have a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know better than anyone else where you are with Christ. But the psalmist goes on to say, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be clean. Amen? So the spirit of man is that part that only you know, and those hidden parts or hidden things of the heart that only God and you know. But the psalmist, David, after he had sinned, amen, he prayed unto the Lord and said, Lord, search my inward parts. Help me, Lord, to know these things. Amen. And if you find anything in there that's not pleasing in your sight, help me. Purge me with hyssop. Purge those things out of me that's not right. Amen. That's got to be our desire, to make a change in our life and be in righteousness where God wants us to be. Lord, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be clean. That's Psalms 51, 6 and 7. And then, here we go now. Now we're going to go over in the New Testament. In 2 Corinthians 4 and 16. The spirit of man, or the inward parts, is that part that is renewed spiritually. Day by day. 2 Corinthians 4 and 16 says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward, in this case is differentiating between outward man and inward man. The outward man perish day by day. That's really why people don't understand it. But you know, your body grows old is basically what it's saying. These bodies grow old. Yeah, it can decay day by day. It can acquire certain things because of the fall of man. This is just something we got to deal with. We got to pray about it, ask the Lord. He'll help us in that area. But daily, the Bible says, this body grow old. But the inward part of us, that's the reason why it doesn't matter what age we are. There should be something that's renewed in us that gives us vitality and life and rejuvenation, that although the body is growing old outside, there's something about the inside that is as young, full of vitality. How about that? In other words, full of life. That although the outward body grows old day by day, inwardly, and the inward man is renewed day by day. And who is it that renews the inward man day by day? It's the Lord. Okay? Why? Because he's making that connection. Not in this case with the body. That's why you see gyms popping up everywhere. You can make millions. You open up a gym. Everybody concerned about their body. Amen. Some are going 6-7 days a week to the gym. Now, listen, don't misunderstand me. The Bible said exercise profited some. Right? Exercise profit a little. Right? In other words, there's some profit from exercise. You need to exercise, but I need to exercise this body to keep it strong, right? But that should not be my main priority. I should not be going to the gym 7 days a week. Amen. In fact, even physically, that's not good. You got to let the muscles rest. But my point is, while some in the world's priority is all about how they look on the outside, on the inside, they're like dead men's bones, what the Bible says. In other words, they may be just worked out. I mean, they're just, you know, chiseled. Hey, thank you. I was chiseled. You know, I mean, they worked on their arm, worked on their biceps, you know, work, you know, right? But they're dead on the inside. They send 7 days a week at the gym, but they don't know the Lord. No substance. And how does that profit you eternal? That's temporal. These bodies at some point or another is going to breathe its last breath. Now you tell me all that time that you spent at the gym, how is going to profit you therefrom? Because those bodies going to lay down, but those spirit men is going to live out into eternity. Now tell me, where should you put your priority? 7 days a week at the world's gym, 24-hour fitness. Praise the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's not good to go to the gym. We should go to the gym. But that shouldn't be our priority. We take time to get in our cars and go down there to the gym, but we can't take time to get in our cars and go to the church. I've heard people say, they trying to make an appointment. Say, I can make an appointment. Oh, no, I don't know. I can't go here because I got to go to the gym. Nothing wrong with that. It's good that you have priorities, but you need to put God first. Because these bodies that you're working on, at some point or another, is going to give out. Amen? And the truth of the matter is your soul is going to live on. So you need to exercise this soul as well, this spirit of man as well, so it's going to be fit. Amen. Able to step into eternity amen, and live out. Is that right? This is not being critical. This is an examination to realize that we need to work on our souls. Amen. Come on. Because God created these bodies, but he breathed the breath of life, the bodies in these bodies. And that's the reason why people don't understand, bless God. When God made, and when you go back and read the story, when he created a man, he scooped up dust. And he formed you. In other words, he made you like an artist, a man forming clay into a vessel. But the Bible says after God got finished forming man, there he just laid. And that's what people know. When you go to a funeral and you see a person laying in that coffin, that's just that clay mold. That's that body that the Bible is talking about in the Word of God. But when you see that person laying in that coffin, it is the same way when God created man and formed them from the dust of the ground. The Bible says he just laid there. There was no animation. There was no life. And that's the reason why people have a rough time. But I understand when I look at a person that's laying there, all I'm seeing is that dust. I'm seeing that body that Genesis talks about when God created man. The Bible says he laid there. But as he laid there, then God did what? He did this. And it wasn't until God did this. He breathed breath into man's body, Adam. And the Bible said he became a living soul. If he became a living soul, that means he wasn't a living soul before. He became what? A living soul. And that's the word nefesh that we're talking about. Man just laid there. There was no animation. There was no thought process. There was no feeling. You could have poked them. Amen. You could have tapped on them. They wouldn't have moved. Because it was a temple. It was a shell that had no life. And that's what you see when you see a person laying in a coffin. That's exactly what you see. God is right. He formed man from the dust of the ground. The Bible said, from dust we came, dust we shall return. As the Lord gave it. And then the Bible says, and the spirit of man, the what? Spirit of man shall return back to God. Amen. So there's a spiritual part of you that's going to live on after these bodies lay down and breathe its last breath. So now we can see why it's important to put a little bit more energy, stock, and time in our spiritual well-being. Amen. Exercise in the spirit. And strengthen the inner man. So that word soul, or nefesh, it means a living creature with desire, a mind, feelings, emotions, and all of the rest that goes along with it. When God made man, he constructed a shell, as we say, but it was dust. It was like a potter making a clay vessel. Amen. Now let me. Where I'm going with this also is this. Now here, what says God breathed the breath of life in him, and man became a living soul. Now that living soul, this is the reason why there has been a confusion or some misunderstandings, because right here when it says and God breathed the breath into man and man became a living soul, it uses the word nefesh, but there it was referencing there both the spirit of man and the soul. And that's the reason why a lot of times the Old Testament is used interchangeably, but I'm going to show you where there's a difference. So it included both parts of man. That part of man that has intellect, awareness, thought process, desire, emotions, and the like. Okay? Spirit is something that lives forever. Listen, spirit of man is something that has consciousness and awareness of their existence. That's important. Because that's the reason why I'm trying to tell you, when a man dies and lives on, there's still an awareness. Body is gone. You leave that body, but there's awareness. How do you know? Remember the story in the Bible that talked about the rich man? The Bible says he died. You know, he lived lavishly. He did everything that he wanted to do. He didn't make any provisions for the poor man. He lived lavishly, the Bible says. He took care of the body, wore fine clothes. Amen. That was his priority. But then the Bible says he died. And a lot of people don't understand. They're in a critical position spiritually, don't realize it. And I've seen a lot of people being in that position. Amen. And the Bible says he died. And the Bible says, and then after that, he went to Hades. Amen. And he lifted up his eyes. He was conscious enough to know who where he was. Conscious enough to know that he should have did better. He wanted to send somebody back to tell his brother to get his life together, because you sure enough don't want to come here. And that made him a quote unquote wanted to be an evangelist. But it was too late then. Come on. Somebody say amen. He wanted God to send somebody back from the dead and tell his brother and his family, you don't want to get your life together now. Amen. And what was God's response to that? Did God let him take on a body and go back and tell him? He said, no, we're not going to do that. He said, they got the prophets. They got the preacher. They got the teachers. They got the ministers. They got the believers in the body of Christ to all tell them the truth of God's word. If they don't hear them, they sure enough won't hear you. Come on. Is that right? But the fact is, what I'm making is that he had an awareness after death. Amen? So here is speaking of the spirit, the soul being the mind, the intellect, the will, the emotion in that part of man. All right? Many times this subject is misunderstood because, like I said, in the Old Testament, it was used interchangeably. But in some cases, it uses the Hebrew word ruah, which means spirit. In other cases, it used the Hebrew word nefesh, which is soul. Amen. So the entry points of our soul and the entry points of our spirit must both be guarded. The Bible does give evidence that there is a difference. Now let me give you some other scriptures. Proverbs 20 and 27 and 1 Thessalonians 5 and 3. And I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 3 because that's where we're going to go. While you turn there, I just read Proverbs 20 and and 27, it just verifies the first verse I gave you in James 4 and 14. It says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching the inward depths, the inward depths of the heart. So the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. It gives light and helps us search what the depths or the inner parts of the heart and the soul. So the spirit of man helps us to search the depths of the soul. Oh, come on. Did you get that? All right. Now you over in 1 Thessalonians? 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says this, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Now, that word holy there, a lot of people don't understand this, and this is why people grapple with this, but you got to study the word. That word holy there means wholeness or complete. But let's go on and see what he's talking about when he says holy. I pray to the Lord that the very God will sanctify you completely. And this is why, my brothers and sisters, we need to know the truth. You're in the right place when I tell you, you at Valley Berean Christian Church, you're in the right place because the word of God is being taught here, right? Amen. Amen. And when you hear me say that God is concerned about the whole you, this is the scripture one of the scriptures that I get it from, all right? When I say the whole you, he's not just concerned about your soul, amen? Bless God, I need to preach messages to make sure a person's soul is saved and on his way to the kingdom. But your mind need to be saved too. Your thought process need to be saved. Your body needs to be saved, if you will. The whole you. God is concerned about the whole you. He's not just concerned about your soul. He's concerned about your spirit too. He's concerned about your body too. Bless God. So when he says, I pray that the spirit sanctify you wholly, he's mean sanctifying your spirit, your soul, and your body. Right? Differentiating. He said, I pray, God, your whole, talk to me, your whole what? Spirit. Come on, one. Soul, two, and body three. Now, some people say, well, Pastor, you're kind of getting that a little mixed up there. Spirit and soul is the same. I've heard some theologians say that. But I'm going to show you some other scriptures that verify the fact that you can differentiate between the spirit and the soul. Amen. God, the word differentiates. Amen. And sometimes when our hypothesis about some things of God, when it doesn't agree with our hypothesis, we need to bring our hypothesis in line with the truth of God's word. Amen? All right? So in other words, when we assume that spirit, something spiritual should be a certain way, then when we find out that it's not according to the word of God, we got to make an adjustment. Amen? So now in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, and I pray God, the whole spirit, soul, and body. Spirit and. Now, listen, I don't need a PhD. I understand what and is. And is a conjunction. Can I get a witness? And conjunction adds to the former thing that you just said. So you just said spirit. And now is a conjunction that not only I pray that your spirit be all right, but I pray and that your soul be all right too. And I pray that your body be all right. We are a trifold being, spirit, soul, and body. That right? Be what? Preserved, blameless. So God wants your spirit to be blameless. He wants your soul to be blameless and your body.